Hello, my name is Salvador Ramirez with the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, and I will be talking about the impact of crop rotations on soil microbial communities today. So a quick overview of what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about why we did what we did, what we did, including the experimental design and the FAME extraction, what we found in terms of microbial biomass. I'm going to talk about fungal biomass and bacterial biomass, and I'm also going to talk about soil microbial community structure and corn yield, and then what we think is going on. And so crop rotations are nothing new, right? We find evidence of crop rotations in a lot of historic texts. Specifically, the one I'm going to pick to talk about today is Thomas Cooper, who in 1794, as an English settler, described that the corn, wheat, red clover rotation in Pennsylvania practiced by English settlers was the best practice at the time. So these crop rotations are nothing new. But some of these benefits, we are still continuing to study and investigate how these crop rotations are beneficial, including soil fertility, organic matter, soil structure, soil erosion, soil biology, pests, allelopathy, and crop yield. But today I'm just going to focus on the soil biology stuff. So what did we do? Our experimental design is located in the Eastern Nebraska Research and Extension Center, also called NREC. It's pretty close to the farm. I don't know if any of you have ever been out there, so it's just a little north of there. It's a rain-fed, no-till design. The study is randomly complete block design with split plot arranged with five replications. And the crop rotation is the main plot factor initiated in 1972. And the nitrogen rate is the split plot factor initiated in 1984. And it's important to note that we always sampled all rotations in the corn phase of the crop rotation. So I'll touch on that in a little bit. So the nitrogen fertilizer rate, which has been in since 1984, has been urea, and it's applied at three different levels. And so in corn grain and corn and grain sorghum, it was 0, 90, 180 kilograms nitrogen per hectare, and I will refer to those as none, low, and high, respectively. And in the soybean oats clover part of the rotation, it's 0, 34, 69 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Also, I will refer to those as none, low, and high, respectively. And so our four crop rotations are continuous corn. So I guess lack of a rotation. So that's for every year it's been corn. Then we have corn, soybean. So that one's an easier one to remember. But then we get a little bit more complicated. We have in year one, corn, then oats, clover, then grain sorghum, and then soybean. And then we just switch two of those crops for our fourth crop rotation, which is going to be corn, soybean, grain sorghum, and oats, clover. Okay, so those are our four crop rotations. Like I said, we always sampled when we were in the corn phase of the crop rotation, and we sampled at three points of the growing season. We sampled in 2014 when corn was at V10-12, VTR1, and R6, and we had a V5-6 soil sample that served as a soil nutrient sample. And in 2015, we sampled when corn was at V8-9, VTR5, and that V8-9 sample served as our soil nutrient sample. And so the questions that we're asking, and it's good to put these crop rotations up like this so that we can see why we're asking the questions we're asking, is what are the effect of continuous monoculture on soil microbial biomass and communities? So for that, we can look at that first lack of rotation and compare that to the rest. How influential is a previous crop in crop rotation on soil microbial biomass and communities? And for that, you can also see that we have some rotations where the immediate crop preceding it is soybean, but then the crop preceding that is different. And so we can compare some of these crop rotations by seeing the crop preceding when we sampled in corn and even the crop before that. And then what is the effect of the cumulative crop rotation on microbial biomass and community structure? So what did we do? We extracted fatty acid methyl esters. And the following ones are the ones that we categorize into microbial groups. So those highlighted in red correspond to bacteria. Those two in green are actinomycetes. Those blue ones are cyclopropyl. This purple one is our saprophytic fungal biomarker. These yellow ones are eukaryotes. That is a general biomarker, and that is our buscular mycorrhizal FAME biomarker. And so what did we find? So I'm going to talk about fungal biomass first. So in 2014, we had a nitrogen by rotation interaction. So this is what this graph is going to talk about, this nitrogen by rotation interaction. We can see that the capital letters above the bars denote significant differences within that crop rotation due to the nitrogen rate. And the lowercase letters inside denote significant differences within nitrogen rate due to the crop rotation. So if we look at continuous corn and corn soybean, we saw a significant effect in fungal biomass and continuous corn and corn soybean due to adding nitrogen fertilizer. But we didn't see this occur in the more diverse crop rotations, and this was for 2014. In 2015, we did not have an interaction, so instead I focused on the nitrogen effect and the rotation effect. But we see the same thing where as we add nitrogen fertilizer, we have a decrease in fungal biomass. So in 2014, just to summarize the fungal biomass stuff, there was a significant nitrogen by rotation interaction where we saw a decrease due to nitrogen fertilization. And in 2015, there wasn't an interaction, but we still saw that trend of a significant decrease due to applying nitrogen. However, when we take a look at the bacterial biomass, we see that we see a reduction in, so this is the same graph, same trends. We see a reduction in microbe and bacterial biomass within the continuous corn due to a lack of nitrogen fertilizer. So that was different from 2014. And in 2015, once again, we did not have a nitrogen by rotation interaction. So I focused on the nitrogen and on the rotation separately. But we see the same trend where we see a decrease in bacterial biomass due to a lack of nitrogen nitrogen fertilization. And in the due to the crop rotations, we see that the lowest bacterial biomass was in the corn-soybean phase of that rotation, that the highest biomasses were in the more diverse crop rotations. So to summarize, for bacterial biomass, just like in the fungus in 2014, there was a significant nitrogen by rotation interaction, where we saw a decrease due to a lack of nitrogen fertilization and an increase in bacterial biomass in the more diverse crop rotations, as we did in 2015 as well. So, in terms of community structure, and this is my favorite part to talk about, this is a canonical discriminant analysis. And so these are canonical discriminant analysis within that crop rotation, modeling the influence of nitrogen specifically within that crop rotation. And what we can take away from this data is that in continuous corn, the model is it has an easier time discriminating between the influence of nitrogen. As you can see, that we have a clear grouping of the high nitrogen, the low nitrogen, and the non-nitrogen levels, right? But as we introduce diversity into these crop rotations, we see that it's more difficult for that model to discriminate between nitrogen fertilization. And the interesting part is that when we have this crop rotation that is corn preceded by soybean, and this one is just corn and soybean, we can see a similar influence of the model discriminating nitrogen within those two crop rotations as opposed to this more diverse crop rotation, but which is preceded by oats clover. So this was for 2014. And for 2015, we see these trends hold up in terms of the discriminating within the continuous corn. We see that the model finds it very easy to discriminate between high, low, and none. But we do see see that it was easier for the model to discriminate that nitrogen in 2014 as opposed to 2015 in corn, soybean, and in the more diverse crop rotations. And so this is a community structure graph. Each of these corresponds to one of those fatty acid methyl ester biomarkers, but instead of giving you each one, I decided to just label them by their microbial groups. So these red ones are bacteria, these green ones are actinomycetes. Here is our fungal biomarker, and here is our AMF. And they correspond to the other slide where I told you how each of those FAMEs corresponded to microbial groups. What I want you to take away from this data is that we can see a clear kind of grouping of bacteria in respect to the other microbial groups, always in this part of the graph, and a pretty stable grouping as opposed to how the fungi behave in respect to the other microbial groups. We can see that here they're at this distance away from the bacterial groups, and here they move a little closer, and here they're kind of in the center of the bacterial groups, and here now they're over here. So what you take away from that is that these crop rotations, within these crop rotations, fungi are responding to that crop rotation or that difference in crop rotation more so than the bacterial groups. And those trends are pretty similar for 2015 as well. We see that these bacteria are grouping in this part of our canonical structure and that our fungi are behaving differently within each of these different crop rotations. And so what did we find in terms of corn yield? Well, we see that the highest corn yields, we see a nitrogen and a rotation significant effect in 2014, and that the highest corn yields were in the high due to nitrogen, but that the lowest corn yields due to the crop rotation was in continuous corn. we see that the greater yields are in corn, soybean, and the more diverse crop rotations. And in 2015, we see a similar trend, but this time we have a nitrogen by rotation significant interaction. But we still see that the lowest corn yields are in the non-nitrogen fertilizer, and that the highest corn, and that the lowest corn yields are still in the continuous corn. So what do we think is going on? Rate of decomposition or of plant material of the soil surface depends on residue quality, soil microfauna, climate, and soil factors. And residue quality includes things like chemical composition, carbon to nitrogen ratio, lignin content, and size of those particles, correct? So when we look back at our questions that we were trying to answer, it struck me that these different crops produce different amounts and different types of residue. And so if I just look at this continuous corn treatment, we can see that, for example, in 2011 when we had corn, we harvested our corn, we had corn stover left on that surface. That corn stover decomposes into the soil, right? And we measured the amount of corn stover and the carbon to nitrogen ratio of that biomass. And we can see that it's differing due to the nitrogen fertilization. But if we continue this trend in this treatment, we can see that in 2012, we still have some of that residue decomposing from the previous year. But now we're just doing the same thing and introduce a fresh mat of corn biomass going into the soil matrix. And we see similar carbon to nitrogen ratios that are different across the nitrogen treatments. And if we continue to see that all we're doing is really adding the same chemical composition of residue going into the soil. And so when we compare this situation to something like this crop rotation, we can see that our first crop, it was oats clover, and that we harvest that and it decomposes. We see that this is different in its carbon to nitrogen ratio, and specifically in the amount of residue entering the soil matrix. But then instead of having the same thing, now we have decomposing residue from 2011 of oats clover. Now we have grain sorghum, which produces more residue and has slightly different carbon to nitrogen ratios. And in 2014, we still have some of these decomposing residues from the oats clover and the grain sorghum, but now we have soybean, right? And so now when we have soybean, we have an entirely different chemical composition of residue entering the soil with different amounts and different carbon to nitrogen ratios. And then finally in 2014, we have that preceding mat of different of diverse residues decomposing in the soil, but now we have corn, right? And so now this is the point in which we sample for our microbial communities, and we have this diverse set of residues decomposing in the soil. And so before I conclude, I'd like to come clean and say I did not consider roots and the root biomass, and we do have studies that say that about 52% of the root-derived carbon was still present in the soil from roots, while only 4% of it was shoot-derived carbon. Which was that remains. So I know that I'm not considering roots in this situation and the decomposing roots, which are an important part of soil and the soil microbial community. So in conclusion, increasing crop diversity within a crop rotation increased soil microbial biomass. The lowest microbial biomasses were observed in the corn and soybean rotation, and the impact of a variable application of nitrogen fertilizer was pronounced in continuous corn more so than in either of the other crop rotations. And I'd like to acknowledge my advisor in the lab, who's been very influential in my work, the USDA, those were USDA sites, the Doctor of Plant Health Program, and all the people on my committee and the undergrads that helped us out in the lab.
We have time for one really fast question.
If you were to put all of the crop rotations together and look at microbial community structure, would you see differentiation across the rotations independently of the nitrogen fertilizer?
You mean if I put all the crop rotations and measured, if I measured microbial communities individually within those crop rotations without applying a nitrogen?
I mean, do you see differentiation of microbial community based on the rotation?
We did see that. There was significant crop by rotation or rotation by nitrogen interactions and significant rotation interactions.
For the community.
For the community. We I I did not run my canonical discriminant analysis with the rotation in mind. I ran it with the influence of nitrogen within rotation. But yeah, I could definitely give that a try. I could consider that.
Thank you very much.